Once again, we want to look at the ministry of guardian angels. Now, Hebrews chapter 1, the verse number 4, the scripture tells us about the ministry of angels. The ministry of angels. The scripture tells us that Jesus, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He has obtained a more excellent name than they. Then verse 5 says, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Jump to the verse number 14, please. Then the verse 14 says, and are they not all ministering spirits? So, in the realm of the spirit, all angels are called spirits. Amen. All angels are called spirits. Irrespective of the class of angels they are all spirits. And they are ministering spirits that are sent forth to minister for the heirs of salvation. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. So there are four principal angels in charge of the four elements of the earth. But this aspect, I won't teach it here. I'll teach it organizing and getting ready to get a day or two of prophetic school in place, where we'll teach you some of this deeper truth. Some of them are not, some of you are not ready to receive them yet. So we'll take it to prophetic school, where you will come and we'll teach you about them. But we'll teach you the one you need to know to help you to become effective in your spiritual journey, and to also not make colossal mistakes. Because there are places in destiny that many of us need to be, that you find out that you are not there. And the reason is simply because sometimes we do not cooperate with the spirit guides that have been sent into our lives. And when I mean spirit guides, what do I mean? I think I touched on that on Sunday, that the principal spirit guide we have is the Holy Spirit. John 16, 10, 13, the scripture says, and when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you. So he is a guide. He will guide you into all truth. But he's not the only spirit given. The scripture tells us as well that Jesus, and you know the Holy Spirit came after Jesus ascended to heaven. He gave us the Spirit. But he did not only give us the Holy Spirit. That Bible says that you have an unction from the Holy One that no man should teach you. Yet you need a teacher. Why? Because Jesus, in his own wisdom, in Ephesians 4:11, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some teachers, and some evangelists, and some pastors. And they are meant to perfect the believer so that we will mature in the things of God and to do the work of the ministry so that we can become perfect. We'll be men that are not tossed to and fro as children, and tossed because of the cunning craftiness of men that lie in wait to deceive. And so there is the spirit of deception there. Sometimes some of the voices we hear and we think is the voice of the Holy Spirit is not even the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's your own voice and it's your own spirit. But it's your own spirit that is even under attack. So what you are hearing is a voice that is deceiving you. And so that's why you find out that you heard the Holy Spirit all right, yet things are delayed. Things are not manifested. Why? Because your spirit itself needs to be tested. Last Sunday, I told you, the scripture says, test all spirits. So your own spirit needs to be tested. The spirit of the Holy Ghost. You need to know whether what you are hearing is your own spirit or you are hearing the spirit of God. Some of us, I hear God. And your hearing God has made a mess of your life. You are a mess. In fact, you are a colossal mess to your own destiny, to the extent that when you look at your destiny is pathetic. Why? Because you have been leading yourself, thinking you are leading, you are being led by the Spirit of God. So that's why God also puts in our lives voices that can be trusted. And one of the voices that can be trusted is the voice of your pastor, the voice of fivefold ministry. Even that, the Bible says, test all spirits. So your pastor is a guiding spirit. He's just a spirit man that also guides you. Hallelujah. And that's why they are called angels in the book of Revelations. Praise God. And yesterday, I started something in Living Waters. Don't miss any of the services. It's internet. So just connect to the Zoom meetings and be part of it so that you can partake of all of it. Because some of the things I will not teach here, I'll teach somewhere else. And some of the things I'll teach somewhere else, I'll teach somewhere else. And so if you don't get involved in all the services, you will miss out. Just follow me. Follow me. Everywhere I go, just follow me. Amen. Yeah, that's how you follow. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. So just follow me everywhere I go. So that what you did not hear here, you will hear there. Amen. Yes. Wonderful. Genesis chapter 28. I think we'll start from the verse number 11. And so tonight I want to teach how to walk with your guardian angel. And now give time for questions. How to walk with your guardian angels. What I've been saying all along is just introduction. Genesis chapter 28 verse 11. The scripture says, and he lifted up, he lighted up upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. Verse 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to the heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. 14. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy family, thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 15. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this place, this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Now this is what is happening to a lot of people. The Lord is in a place and you know it not. The Lord has been with you and you have not known it. And he was afraid and he said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Now that word gate there represents portal. So a portal was opened for him to access heaven and to access the voice of God, and he did not know it. Praise God. He did not what? Know it. He only got to know after he woke up because he thought it was a dream. But to him, I love this man's attitude. He did not see it as just a dream. He saw it as an encounter with God. And what I also want to draw your mind to, which I will come to later, is the timing of that visitation. There are places set on earth where you can experience God more than other places. And this was one of such places. And when he got to that place, because you will find out earlier on that his grandfather Abraham has already been to Bethel and has already lifted an altar there. So a portal has been opened in that region. So when he got there, it so much happened that the angel that was guiding him brought him to the place exactly at the time when the sun had gone down. And then so he had to sleep by necessity. It was not a coincidence. This was divine orchestration. It is called supernatural synchronicity, to come into alignment with divine help so that God can speak to him, because God did not meet him like the way he met Abraham or like the way he met Isaac, but God had to meet with him here on his own terms. And he said, God was in this place and I knew it not. Guess what he did? He took stone after he woke up, the stone he laid on, and poured oil on the place and called the place Bethel. The name of that place used to be Luz. He changed the name to the house of God so that that becomes a permanent mark, a portal where men can hear from God. Later on in his journey, when he gets to Laban's house in Genesis 31, the Bible says, and he heard the words from verse 1 of Laban's son saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's has he gotten all this glory. His wealth was called glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindreds, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be with thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ring streaked shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring streaked. Thus God has taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived, that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring streaked, speckled, and grisled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream. Now this is what I was going to. I wanted you to see that when he says God spoke to me, it was the angel of the Lord that he met at Bethel that was speaking to him, that guided him, that gave him wealth. And he made sure that his destiny was not robbed. Even though men decided to rob him, Laban decided to make a mincemeat of him. The angel of the Lord made sure that he was not robbed. And how did he do it? He guided him. He led him. When the man says, I want your wages to be this, God will go ahead through the angel of the Lord and tell him what to do. And he will do it. And before he will know it, the animals will produce after the same kind as he did. This is how he met his spirit guide. He met the angel of the Lord. And he referred to him all throughout his journeys. It was this same angel he met when he returned. The Bible says after he left Laban, he ran away. When he got into the region of his fathers, the Bible says the angels of the Lord in a company came to meet with Jacob. His guardian angel came with other angels to meet with him. Awesome. Awesome. Hallelujah. Awesome. Wonderful. Now, so how to walk with your guardian angel? So God grants us these ministering spirits for a reason. To guide us. To lead us. Sometimes, I told you before, they will not be visibly present for you to say he is the one speaking to you or is the one that is there for you to see. For the sake of the fear that may be in some of us, our hearts, when we encounter them. So they will not reveal themselves to you, but they will be available. Exodus 23 verse 20 to 21, the scripture says, I will send my angel to go before you. And he will guide you, bring you to the place that I've set for you. There is a place in destiny for every man. Hallelujah. And you must be spiritually obstinate to get them angry. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way. So sometimes you think that some of the things that are happening to you are happening by luck or happening by some chance or by your mighty prayer. It is not. It's just because God has placed a ministering spirit in your life to be a help to you. Praise God. To be a help to you. And I'm praying for you tonight that you'll be sensitive to the ministry of the angels that have been sent to you, that they will minister to you. They will minister to you day and night and cause you to come into alignment with destiny and with God's plan for your life in the name of Jesus. Daniel went to the lion's den and his destiny was about to be truncated, but the angel of the Lord went with him. When the king came the following morning to find out, he screamed, Daniel, thou beloved, did the God that you serve actually save you? And he says, live long, my king. The angel of the Lord came in to save me. The angel of the Lord came in to save me. I had something this week that was very interesting. And I love it. Daniel was a fasting man. When they brought them to the courts of the king to partake of the food of the king, he refused to eat. Him and his brethren refused to eat. They would rather not eat the food and defile themselves. They were a fasting man. And what the person said was that the angel that followed Daniel always loved Daniel to be fasting. So Daniel was always engaging in fasting. So when he went into the den, because that angel is a fasting angel, the lions, they also ought to fast. So they also went on fasting and left Daniel alone. And I so much loved it. I didn't see it that way, but for some reason, it resonated with me. That the angel that the Lord may bring for you may be a praying angel. So if your life does not go in consistency with the prayer grace that has been placed upon you through that angel, you will never see things happening. Yeah. For you, sometimes you have to fast. And he will urge you to fast. But you love food. You so much love food. You're like, they are for me and my food. I cannot even do up to 12 o'clock. Continue. That is how you will be. You will be trying and trying and things will not happen. Why? Because the angel assigned to you will behave exactly like you because he looks like you. So if you have desires to fast and he wants you to fast and you refuse to fast, okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 6, the scripture says, do not say before the angel, I've made a mistake. So your guardian angel was sent to you by God to aid your destiny. Therefore, any meandering away from the path of destiny, they don't take kindly to it at all. Okay, they don't take kindly to it at all. You can't give excuses before them that, oh, this is the reason why I did this. And that is, no, 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 no. They don't take kindly to it at all. And so They are there to guide you away from trouble and guide you into destiny. Some of you, the people that are disconnected from you, is your guardian angel that removed them. Let them go. You want to keep them there. You will never fulfill destiny. Some of the friends, sometimes it may even be a husband or a wife, that the scripture tells us that the downfall of a man, Jesus said it, are members of his own household. Is it possible you marry the wrong person? And that angel does not want you to go wrong. So they remove the person from your life. You may not know, but it is. That can happen as well. Praise God. So all these things are very important. You don't have to give an excuse before the angel. Because if you give an excuse, you go against the path of destiny that has been chosen for you by God. And when that happens, you may deal with certain expensive losses in your destiny. And the loss sometimes are because the angel of the Lord has been incapacitated. And when you deal with these losses, sometimes we think they are demons and they are the devil himself. And so we start binding the devil. It's not the devil you are dealing with. You are dealing with destiny. Your destiny is out of sync. And so the losses you are suffering because you are out of destiny. You are out of sync. Your guardian angels are not there to cause death. So they will do everything to make sure that they prevent death. Psalm 91, the verse number 12. The scripture says that he will give his angels charge over you, that they shall bear you up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. So if you are dashing your foot against a stone, chances are that the angel is speaking to you. He's telling you something. I was telling them in Living Waters yesterday. And chances are that the angel is telling you something. Yeah, if you are dashing your foot against a stone, the angel is telling you, don't go. You too, you want to go, by all means. They say, don't go, I will go. Because the food we are going to eat, and I'm going to eat with my friends, I have to go. That restaurant is the best in town. And this meeting, I need to be there. And something keeps moving you round and round in circles. The chain you want to wear, you can't find it. The watch you want to wear, you can't find it. The dress you even want to wear, you just put it there. By the time you turned and came back, the dress have gone away, you can't find it. The angel is telling you something. He's telling you, don't go. Your throat is itching you. You want to go and eat that food. That's how you went and you were involved in an accident. And you broke one leg. You broke one leg. But I pray that will not be your story. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Normally, we can easily provoke these guardian angels by not heeding to their instructions. So sensitivity to your guardian angels is key to walking in the path of destiny. It's key because they hold the blueprint to your destiny. So when you're not sensitive to their voice and to their leading, you will suffer loss, number one. But apart from that, you will also provoke them. Sometimes when the angel of the Lord, now, so how do you identify that the angel of the Lord is around you? I taught one or two in the family. But the next thing I want to add is when the angel of the Lord wants to communicate to you, they may not speak to you audibly for you to hear in an audible voice. However, they will always give you a sign. So there will be signs around you to show that they are trying to communicate something to you. They are not allowed to cause harm to you, so there will be no harm that will come to you, but they will give you signs, visible signs, to know whether death is knocking at the door, to know whether you are in harm's way, to know whether the journey you're about to take is prosperous, to know whether you are going to meet the right company, the right people that will cause your destiny to come into alignment. All of these are important. Praise God. All of these are important. So we need to come into alignment. We need to come into alignment. We need to come into alignment. Now, so your angel speaks to you with the voice of your mind. Your angel will speak to you with the voice of your mind. He will speak to you with the voice of your mind. The Holy Spirit speaks to you, to your heart, your spirit. But the angel will speak to you through the voice of your mind. Through the voice of your mind. This is very, very critical. How to identify them and walk with them. How to identify them and walk with them. And most of the time, they will do anything to get your attention. Number two, angels operate with what is called synchronicity. Synchronicity. So angels will communicate to you by synchronicity. When we talk about synchronicity, we are talking about the simultaneous occurrence of certain events in your life which appear to be significantly related. So for example, you thought of somebody and then there was a call from them. You wanted to go somewhere. Remember, when it's not everybody you think about that they call you. So when you think about somebody and they call you, a portal has been opened in the realm of the spirit. There is synchronicity in the realm of the spirit. There is something you need to communicate. And when that portal is open in the realm of the spirit, one of the things you need to do is to make declarations. For example, you thought of your pastor and then he called you. If he calls you, you don't let him just go like that. You say, man of God, I was just thinking about you, call me. Release a prayer over me. It's called synchronicity. Have you heard of stories of people, they said they were just standing by the pole. They just moved an inch and then the car came to hit the post. If I didn't move, I would have died. What happened? Synchronicity. You went to sleep. You had a dream and you saw me. Maybe I came to help you with something.
Recording in progress.
Is my thing breaking? Am I breaking?
Yes, it's the video, but I think it's the sound is okay.
The sound is okay. It's the video that's breaking. Okay, all right. Don't worry. Forget about the video. Let's concentrate on the message. Now, so you dreamt you saw me. It would necessarily not be me, but the angel of the Lord that has been given to me to come and aid you in whatever battle you are dealing with. And I'll talk about that a little bit more as we go on. So in synchronicity, nothing happens by chance, especially in this universe. Nothing, even though they may look like it was accidental, but nothing is accidental. Everything is organized and planned by heaven. You didn't even see it. You didn't see it coming. But that was God planning everything so that you come into alignment with destiny. It may be men. It may be people that you have to meet. It may be certain business opportunities, certain people that must cross your path in destiny, that must do something for your life, unlock certain things in your life. So these destiny angels are there to lead you to cross paths with people. And so don't think that anybody you meet in destiny is by chance. The same way that demonic forces as well may also lead you to meet with certain evil people that you will wish they never cross your path. That's why our sensitivity to the Spirit of God and the angelic spirits that have been released to guide us is very important. Because there are certain people, after they cross your path, you were so drained, they took so much from you, you became so, you wish they never entered your life or crossed your path. That is to tell you that there is something manipulating things behind the scenes. So in synchronicity, we are unable to trace or attribute an event to any physical cause. However, you know behind the scenes that guardian angels are organizing your steps. They are putting you in sync with what must happen in your destiny. Proverbs 16, verse 33. The scripture says, the lot is cast. Let's read from the Amplified, and then we'll read from the basic English. If there's no basic, I will read the basic English for you. The lot is cast into the lap, but the decision is wholly of the Lord. Even the events that seem accidental are really ordered by Him. Hallelujah. The events that seem what? Accidental are really ordered by the Lord. The basic English says, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. So a thing may be put to the decision of chance, but it comes about through the Lord. You may think that it is chance, but it is the Lord. It is the doing of the Lord. So when events seem to be synchronizing, what happens is that they indicate that a portal has been opened in the realm of the spirit. For example, you turn to your watch and then you see 11 o'clock, are at 11:30. That's the time you saw your watch or your phone, whatever. And it has happened like continuously. You looked another time, it was maybe 10 and then 10 past 10. Now, it is synchronicity. The angel of the Lord is drawing your attention to something. It may look coincidental, but it is not coincidental. What do you need to do? When synchronicity is taking place, that is an indication that your guardian angel is trying to communicate to you something. Now, what does it do? It opens portals in the heavens. And so when portals are open in the heavens, you don't shut up. You speak. You make declarations according to the word of the Lord. And then you find out that the Bible says that the angels, they excel in strength that obey the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord from your mouth goes forth, and they take it forth and begin to act on it for your advantage. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His ways. So your path is ordered, and God delights in your ways. So He orders your paths. So many a times God orders our steps, not by speaking to us directly, but by guardian angels arranging events around us to point us to that chosen path that God has set for you. You thought it was a mistake, but it was not a mistake. Mark 14, verse 13 to 15. Look at what Jesus did. Jesus did not tell these disciples when He sent them that wait for the Spirit to speak to you before you move. He says, He sendeth forth two of His disciples and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. What did Jesus say? Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? Verse 15. And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us. Did Jesus know this was going to happen before? This came by revelation. But aside by revelation, Jesus understood the synchronicity of events. that it will take a man that they will meet that will lead them. When the servant of Abraham was going to look for a wife for Isaac, he says, the angel that has been with me, go with you. When he got to the well, he began to pray. And he said, let the angel that has been with my master, that have served him, the angel should serve me too. He understood that his master had an angel that served him. And he says, let the woman that will come, that will fetch water and will offer the water to my donkeys, let that one become the wife of the son of my master. Synchronicity of events. It happened almost the same way. Hallelujah. It happened the same way. Jacob going to the uncle. The Bible says that he lighted down at the place where it was almost the same time the sun went down. Synchronicity of events. The angel of the Lord was guiding his path to the place where he will hear the instruction that will guide his destiny. And he followed the same instruction. When, if you read the verse, Genesis 28, 11 to 12, you'll find it there. Then 16 to 17, the Lord spoke to him. And then he followed it. So at every moment of synchronicity, don't keep quiet. Speak. Jacob awoke out of that place and out of his sleep. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. And then he called that place, verse 17, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven, a portal for heaven to intervene in my natural affairs. Wow. Wow. So at every point of synchronicity, don't keep quiet. The angel of the Lord is trying to minister to you. You get ready to speak. You must make a declaration and a demand, because a portal of guardian angels have been opened to bring manifestations to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jacob understands that this event he was in was not an ordinary event. He knew that it was not just a coincidence. He knew beyond doubt that the Lord was in the place. He called the place Bethel, the house of God, the gate of heaven. How did that happen? The guardian angels arranged such that by the time he arrives at the place, the sun will be setting so that he will be camping there. Very important. Now, how do you engage with these guardian angels? Invite them by desire. Psalm 78, the verse number 24 to 29. Psalm 78, the verse number 24 to 29. And had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. Manna is being called the corn of heaven. Angels' food. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the food. So can you invite angels into your life? Yes. Abraham did it. We saw it in when we're doing Word Alive, we saw how Abraham sat at the front of his house and saw three men passing. The Bible says that we should not be weary to entertain men, for by that some have entertained angels unawares. But we know better, so we will not do it unawares. We will do it in awareness. And how do we do it in awareness? We invite them to feast with us. Hallelujah. Abraham ate with them by invitation, by desire. You also can invite them to feast with you. And by inviting them to feast with you, they will also consequently be inviting you to come and feast with them. And how do you do this? Psalm 103, the verse number 20, the Bible says that they excel in strength and obey the voice of his command. Hallelujah. So you command them with God's word. The more of God's word that is in you. Colossians 3:16 says, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom and in all spiritual understanding. So when you allow the word of God to dwell in you richly, what the word of God does is that it will stir in you the ability for angelic assistance. What happens as well is that because angels hear the word of the Lord, not your words, they will now be quickened and become swifter to your words, because the word of Christ is dwelling in you more richly. Hallelujah. Now, one thing as well you need to know about your guardian angels is that your angels recognize authority. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10. I'll say this and say one last thing, and then I'll be open for questions. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 10. Your angels recognize authority. They don't operate in an atmosphere of chaos, the same way they don't operate in an atmosphere of uncleanliness. So these are the last two things I want to talk about. They don't operate in an atmosphere of chaos. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 10. Man, work with me, don't sleep. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. This scripture is normally mostly misinterpreted to mean you should cover your head with a scarf or wear a hat like Pastor Celine is wearing so that the angels will recognize you. No, your head, the head of the woman or of the wife is the husband. So it means that honor your husband because your husband is the authority over you. So feminists don't have any place for angelic assistance, because angels know who has authority over you, and they operate by authority. Your guardian angel recognizes who you are submitted to spiritually. Hallelujah. In the context of the home, it is the wife submitting to the husband. This allows for angelic activity. So it says, because of what? The angels, so that your guardian angels can operate. Now, a woman who does not submit to your husband, I'm not saying your boyfriend, neither am I saying any man, I say your husband. So if you don't have a husband, submit to Christ and submit to the authority of the church. That is more important. Amen. Now, so we are not saying submitting to your boyfriend. Say, it's my boyfriend, so he's my husband. He's not yet your husband. He has no authority over you because he has not made any demands. So he has no right to be making demands. Praise God. And if you have decided to be mumutious to make him a husband when he's not yet a husband, you are on your own. You know the meaning of mumutious? If you decide to be foolish enough to make a man who has not paid your dowry or your bride price your husband, you are on your own. Because he has no authority over you. And so there's nothing that makes him an authority over you. And therefore, for that matter, angels will not hear your prayer. Stop that nonsense. So spiritual authority is very important. And so who you are spiritually submitted to, it's very important. The reason is this. Sometimes when you are not able, there are certain contentions that your guardian angel cannot fight for you. You can place a demand, a leverage on your spiritual authority. Therefore, for that matter, your spiritual father in the Lord. So you can place a demand to call his guardian angel to assist your guardian angel in the battle you are involved in. Gabriel was sent to Daniel. Now, I told you in the angelic choir, there's Gabriel, the archangel. And therefore, everybody in his choir are all Gabriels. So if it's a Mike L, everybody in that choir are called Mike L. Now, when it comes to satanic contention, the angel of the Lord in charge of the territory, in charge of that region, for that matter, in charge of the prince of Israel, came to fight with Gabriel. Now, we don't know whether this Gabriel was the archangel Gabriel or just Gabriel as part of the choir. But this Gabriel was held down. And therefore, archangel Michael, who is the prince of the territory, had to come and what? And fight for Daniel's answers to be released. And therefore, and this are an insight into what happens in the realm of the spirit. You can lay hold on assistance, and there can be assistance of angelic help to help other angels to fight. Now, and so the way you do that is by, they operate by ranks and authority. So if you don't have anybody you are submitted to, and your angel is incapacitated, you will not be able to lay claim. This is why it is very dangerous to be in a church and not be connected, and not be connected to the spiritual authority of the church. In your heart, you are so rebellious. In your heart, you are not connected. You only come to church. In that church, you do nothing to aid the ministry of your pastor. In the day when you are in trouble, you will find out that you will be found wanting. You are in that church, you don't tithe, you don't give. There is nothing you do to aid the ministry of your pastor. Therefore, you are not submitted properly to the authority of that pastor. And when that happens, what happens is that you cannot lay claim, oh, the God of my father, Apostle Justice, come and help me. He will look at you and say, look at rebellion at work and rebellion speaking. Who should come and help you? And my angel will not be showing up. Maybe the reason why you're not dreaming about me is because maybe my angels have not, they have been watching your heart. So it's just a joke, please. Now, so one of the things that activate guardian angels is the name of your father. Who is your father? Who is your father? In the Lord. Praise God. So it can inhibit the full capacity, the maximum capacity of angelic help. Now, and then I also told you that angels detest uncleanliness and they prefer fragrances. Angels love fragrances all through the scriptures. Watch and you will see. The Bible tells us in Revelation 8 verse 4. So be at your best in cleanliness. Be at your best in cleanliness. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints. So our prayers are like incense, are sent up before God out of the angel's hand. Has it ever occurred to you why the anointing oils that come from Israel have scents? They use special ointments. And even when they were asked to make the holy apothecary, the holy anointing oil, they don't just use, virgin oil. And virgin oil for cooking, my friend. They use scented oil because that scented oil has the capacity to attract the presence of angelic personalities. Yeah, that's why buying a cheap perfume is a bad thing. Buy good perfumes because they have the ability to attract angelic presence. Amen. To attract angelic presence. So he says they ascend as the prayers in the hands of what? Of the angel is what ascends to heaven. Now, Luke 1 verse 8 to 12. I'll end with that scripture and then I can take questions. And this is all I will do on guardian angels. Anything I would do beyond the syllabus, this syllabus, like for example, testing all spirits and all that, I'll do it in a prophetic school. And the registration will be coming up soon. If you're ready to be part of the prophetic school, you can join that. That will come under JKM Justice Choir Ministries, because I'll do that privately. And you are coming because you want to know and you want to engage. So there will be prerequisites for coming. If you are not serious, you will not attend. We will not admit you. I don't need you there. Amen. So there will be prerequisites for you to show up now. So then I can delve more into the ministry of angels, how you will know your own personal guardian angel, their name, and how to interact with them and all that. And that's very important. Yeah. Okay, Luke 1, verse 8 to 12. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course. Now, you know what the priests do when they go into the Holy of Holies? They burn sweet incense. They burn sweet fragrances to the Lord. This, and according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. You see, this is what attracted the presence of the angel, Gabriel. Now, that's why you find out that most people in these Eastern religions and all this transcendental meditation and all that, they like burning incense because it attracts spirits. Now, just the same way the Holy Spirit can be attracted, there are anti-spirits, there are anti-Christ spirits, there are demonic spirits that are also attracted. They use the same principle of the scriptures, but they use it for the force of evil. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. So at the time of incense, that meant that his course was to burn incense before the Lord. That attracted Gabriel to come and release to him what is due him. Let's go on. Verse 11 and 12. We're reading to 12. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Now I told you where you can locate angelic presence. Any spiritual encounter you locate on your left, definitely it's not of God. That's first indicator to know whether you are dealing with an angel of light or a fallen demon. Now, he was positioned at the right side of the altar. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Fear fell upon him. Anytime I'm ministering, the angel that ministers with me, the angelic presence that ministers with me, is always at my right. If you see me pointing, I always point to the right. That's where he must be. If he's not there and he's somewhere else, I'll be checking him out of the place, out. Waka, they go. Amen. Uh-huh. So, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. One of the indicators of the presence of an angelic being from God. Praise God. So, angels love cleanliness. If you want to attract the presence of your guardian angel in assisting you in destiny and destiny's path, you must love cleanliness. Stop bathing 2 times in a whole month. Stop bathing only once. Bath, stay clean, wear deodorant, put on nice perfume, burn nice incense in your house to attract the presence of angelic personalities and be intentional about it. Amen. I stop there. All right. So this is how you engage with your guardian angels. They communicate to you through the mind, through your mind. Okay, the voice of your mind. They communicate to you through synchronicity of events. And when these things happen, you must know that a portal in the heavens has been opened. What do? You don't keep quiet. Sometimes you are woken up from your sleep in the middle of the night and you don't know what woke you up. Something pulled your leg or pulled your hand. When you wake up, don't just stay there and just go back to sleep. Begin to make declarations. Begin to speak to the Lord. Begin to communicate the word of God. And what your heart desire must be for the Lord. And then you begin to see that come to pass.